following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Terry Bradshaw here. In football, you can't win without a strong team backing you up. Today, I'm talking to Kevin, a licensed plumber, about how the team over at Ferguson, the leader for plumbing, waterworks, and HVAC supplies, gives him a winning edge.
Ferguson makes it easy. I order my supplies online and pick them up at my local branch or have everything delivered.
Plus, your online orders earn points for cool stuff like electronics and event tickets.
Yeah, ordering online saves me time, too.
You heard the man. Go check out ProPlus at Ferguson.com.
All across the country, there are those who are going pro. They are taking their game to the next level. They are swishing, flossing, and brushing those hard-to-reach places. They are going pro with Crest Pro Health. They are getting a clean that will transform their oral health and shedding their amateur status and going pro with their oral care routine. Go pro with Crest Pro Health. Life opens up when...
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg. Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated. Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda and Damon. Oh, no, wait a minute.
No,
that's not Damon.
No, I'm not.
That's the new guy.
Yeah. New on Tuesdays.
Damon Day has baseball today. He's going to join us tomorrow. So,
oh, what an excuse that is.
We're switching it up, yeah. Sitting back watching batting practice. Ting! Ting!
That sound just isn't right, by the way, when you watch baseball.
We have got a whole lot to talk about on the program today. We are going to go to Boston and talk with one of the local participants that was in the marathon yesterday, that was in the, it's not the staging area, but it was the recovery area, I guess you would say, where you finish the race, you get your bottle of water, you get some food, you get your clothes, you get your belongings. Tom Osterbeer is going to join us here as he's getting ready to fly back home, which is going to be, I suppose, an experience all on their own. So we'll talk about the Boston Marathon. Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald prep sports editor, joining us next segment as we're going to talk about the changes to high school postseason football, volleyball, things like that. We're going to talk softball with Hastings College coach Troy Baker. They are undefeated in the conference season, and Nebraska plays Arkansas today, and that means Dave Van Horn is back in Lincoln, and we will talk with the Arkansas baseball coach whose team started the season number one, but they just can't hit the ball. They lead the country in ERA.
Unbelievably, their ERA is unbelievable. 1.45, I think it is, for college baseball?
I think for their starters.
Yeah.
For their starters, 1.72 for the team. Still,
that's unbelievable.
Anything that's even around two, let alone that's way below two.
Yeah, that'd be great in the bigs, in those big ballparks, and not using aluminum bats. That his pitching staff is outstanding. If they just get a little hot, they don't even have to get hot hitting the ball. They just have to get lukewarm, and they're going to be an awfully good team, a team that can definitely be playing in Omaha come June.
So that is all coming up, plus Troutman's Tuesday Trivia will be coming your way as well on the Doug and Daddy Show here today. But let's go to Boston, and this is the story of the day. It's been so large that ESPN is basically, at least yesterday, was sticking with ABC News coverage and putting in their sports coverage with it as well. And Tom Osterbeer, and again, I'll introduce Tom as a guy that I think most people outside of Grand Island that know Tom. He's been in the radio business, but he does a lot of the public address announcing at Grand Island Central Catholic State Tournament volleyball and things like that. And Tom joins us, Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Tom, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, Doug?
Well, I'm doing good, and I think, folks, if you picked up the papers or you were on TV or you were with us yesterday, Tom has talked to quite a few people, and he's very good about expressing, because he's been in the media business before, about what was going on. And, Tom, first off, just want to say it's great that everybody is okay as far as Nebraskans. I know it didn't work that way for everybody, but I know you talked to a lot of people yesterday. You kind of had a night to, I guess, sleep on it as much as you can. What are your feelings this morning now that you have kind of been associated or been through the leading story in the world today?
You know, still probably a bit of not being able to absorb everything, but, you know, feeling very blessed, and puts things back in perspective again, and we're on our way right now. In fact, I'm on the T as I talk to you, heading to the airport.
Tom, you still there?
Yeah, and I figured this would probably be one of those things that would happen. Tom, we'll see if we can reconnect with Tom. I knew he was getting to the airport, going to be at the airport, and you know that the communications in and out of the city were just psychotic and have been for, it's not even been 24 hours.
Well, you know, they intentionally shut it down to try to make sure that there was, if there was any remote detonation, they wouldn't be able to do that. And then when they restarted it, there were so many people trying to get a hold of friends and family and let everybody know that you're okay, and conversations like this as well. They overloaded the cell system as well through the course of that. So I think it actually went down a couple of times, even when it wasn't intended for it to go down, but they intentionally took it down for a little while.
So, Tom, we'll try and reconnect with him in Boston as they're trying to get home and see if we can just get a couple of more comments from him. But I feel you always have the initial sadness and shock and feel bad for everything that went on and all the people that got injured. And I feel just as bad for now all the people that will be affected today in Boston. Today that work at the Boston Garden, today that work at Fenway Park, today that work in any big event, all of a sudden the whole nation is on semi-alert again because of what looks like a couple of crazies in Boston did. Now everybody is on the edge of their seat in Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., New York. I mean, now they're the London Marathon.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's – I feel bad because, let's face it, most likely – and, again, everybody's cautious here – but you look at all the security that was around there yesterday. And not much because it is – I mean, how can you secure 26.2 miles? But with all those first responders there, it wasn't like there wasn't police and people watching what was going on yesterday. How would you pick up on something like that?
Well, you just can't see everything all the time. There's just no way to do that. You can't live your life that way. You can't wrap yourself in bubble wrap and that sort of thing. It is unfortunate. And, you know, a guy like Tom, I mean, finishing the Boston Marathon is a tremendous accomplishment. And he did it in a fairly good time. And so that's outstanding what he was able to do. And there's that feeling of accomplishment and elation. And that's a great event for the city of Boston. It really is much of the identity of that city. And then it becomes tarnished with all that. And obviously that's minute compared to the death of three people and the number of people that were injured, many of them severely injured, including losing limbs and that sort of thing. So you hate to kind of compare it, but just that's what's taken from us when things like this happen. And unfortunately, we have all sorts of examples of things we can kind of point to. Oklahoma City, obviously 9/11. There's been instances like this. And you're right, it's usually just one or two whack jobs out there who can't find any better way to express how disaffected they are with the world than to blindly attack and lash out at the world.
And again, this becomes a sports story because it happened around a sporting event. This could have easily happened at a train station.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which would have had nothing to do, Grand Central Station, pick a place, where it had nothing to do with sports. And anytime it has something to do with sports, and we've had plenty of things, you know, the Atlanta Olympics, and you can go on and on and on, plenty of things to do with sports, it then becomes a story with all of the sports people. And with it, with ESPN 2 hours away, Bristol, Connecticut, 2 hours away from Boston, these are people that
know those streets.
They're from Boston.
Yeah, they know that area.
They live in Boston. You know, they live in Boston. They come work at ESPN for 4 days. They go back to Boston. I mean, you look at Steve Levy. He's already there. You know, Teddy Bruschi. You had a lot of these people, athletes that were in the race. It is amazing to me, Randy, actually, how many people, and Casey Lichtig, who went to UNK for a while as a Dannebrog native, she's one of the, she's running with her mother, ran a little bit slower time than she would because she was running with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
They crossed the finish line approximately 1 minute before this happened. There are stories of Nebraskans. Again, I read the World Herald. I read the Journal Star. I got on everything that everybody else did. There were Nebraskans that were in between the two explosions. I mean, and that's only, what they say, 130 yards?
But, yeah.
In between that. And most of the injuries occurred to spectators. The runners, they're on the street.
Right, because of where the bombs were placed.
But it's amazing that how many people that maybe we don't necessarily know personally, but somebody we know knows, you know, just one step down the old chain, how many people were affected by this from Nebraska, central Nebraska. You don't think Boston Marathon, you don't think that way. I don't think that way, but there were quite a few there.
Well, and I hate to bring up another tragic event, but on 9/11, it was a Tuesday, and my daughter had a soccer game, and one of our players, her aunt, was in one of the towers, and she wasn't at the soccer game, obviously, you know, when that happened, and, you know, I'm kind of looking around and go, you know, where is she? I'm just thinking, you know, it's like, she's usually here. Well, that's unusual. Didn't think much of it, and then you find out later on why they weren't there, and it just is such a, it is, it's such a small world. You always find people that that are near there that are affected by it. So it doesn't take too many degrees of separation before you have somebody that we can talk to.
And I think we have Tom Ostbier back at a spot he can talk to us for just a couple of minutes. Tom, again, thanks so much. Take us to what happened, because it looks like you were right there at the scene when this all went down.
Yeah, I was within about 80 yards to 100 yards. At least, I mean, I may have been a little closer than that. It's just hard. It's kind of tough to tell. But I went through the finish chute. Was getting a bottle of water and heard an explosion. And I mean, my first thing was, what fool would have shot a cannon off? And as I turned, the second explosion went, and a big fireball came out. And I mean, my first thing, I said, that was a bomb. And the lady goes, no, it was a manhole blew up. And I said, it's gunpowder. Well, about that time, the police came in, got us moving down the street, and I got about a block down the street, and they put us, there was buses parked on either side to carry your clothing from Hopkinton to Boston, and they told us to get up against those because they were afraid there was another bomb, and pretty scary, and I couldn't get a hold of my wife. She was about a half mile on the other side of the second explosion, and I had a bad knee, and it makes you realize a few minutes here and there, I probably should have been down a half hour earlier and been nowhere near it, but I was slow enough. Otherwise, my wife and her friend may have walked right into that second one. So you look at a lot of things about how fortunate they are and, you know, just how crazy things can happen within a minute or two. So a wild day. The Boston police did a tremendous job, as did the medical crew, and just responded, got the people and isolated the area. So just sometimes it's kind of hard to put that all into words right now.
Tom, from what I've always understood, Patriots Day is such a great day of celebration. People embrace the Boston Marathon. There's cheering and all that. The city's in a great mood. What is the mood of the city now? Is it a mood of shock? Is it anger? Is it a combination of both? Give us an idea.
Somber right now is what I'd say, more so than anything. I just think it's still soaking in. And so I think the anger will come later, but today's almost just somber.
Tom, people what's
walking it? Around not saying much.
Tom, what was it like just trying to get from? I think from hearing one of your interviews yesterday, you weren't at a downtown motel. What was it like trying to get to the airport this morning?
You know what? Real quick, it was just a quick. I got right on the T. We stayed though out near the aquarium. We were on a houseboat. Which was interesting because last night we had the Coast Guard go through about every 30 minutes and spotlight us, and we had helicopters overhead. But real quick trip out here. I mean, it's two stops on the T and very few people on the T. So I think a lot of people went out early this morning, and understanding is that there was an incident on one United Air flight they brought back in and searched the plane. So, you know, I'll feel a lot better when we're touching down in Denver. and catching our connection back into Omaha.
Tom, personally, I mean, it's a great accomplishment doing the Boston Marathon, and there's just not that opportunity to kind of celebrate your accomplishment. How do you kind of feel looking at this? Do you feel lucky that you weren't hurt? Is it, you know, you still, I just don't know how exactly I would feel if I was in your shoes.
You know what? I don't think I've dealt with it yet. My wife said today, she said, you're a lot more emotional today. I was walking because my knee was really bad, and I finally jogged in down the finish. I was along that left side, along that rail, high-fiving, giving five to people. And so I basically realized that if I would have continued to walk, that's just it. I'm out of a second here or a minute here. I should have been done 40 minutes earlier. Hard to celebrate at all, obviously. I've run two before. I ran 96 in 2000. I said when we came to my wife, I'm going to go slower today, and I'm going to soak it all in. And I said, I want this to be a memorable one. And unfortunately, it will be, but for all the wrong reasons.
Before we let you go, Tom, I want to touch back on something that you told me, and we were talking with some of the folks yesterday. Mark Treadway is from Kearney, and I talked with him yesterday, and I asked him what it's like when you finish the race, whether this incident happened or not, and you talked about how they took you guys down about a block. A lot of these people, these aren't the world-class athletes that are crossing the line at this time. They've just went 26.2 miles in a marathon and can hardly move. Was that a problem yesterday?
Well, no. And, you know, I guess the bittersweet is there's thousands of people that got stopped. And thank God they weren't hurt, but they got stopped without being able to finish. And so, no, it really wasn't. And it was pretty orderly. Until toward the end, when they thought there was another bomb, possibly, people did kind of start panicking. But, again, the Boston Police, Boston Fire Department, the first responders, unbelievable guys. I mean, they ran through the problem, not away. And I've heard that said, and it's a cliche. But everybody's stunned because who would think, you know? But people moved quite well, and the police did such a good job at getting people moved out and isolating the area. It then became what's going to happen, because I couldn't get a hold of my wife. I couldn't get a hold of the other group. I'm here with about 30 people from around the country on a Runner's World blog site that we'd all gotten together. And so I'm in Boston Commons, and I don't really know where I'm walking to. So we had to walk about 20 minutes out to our boats. It was just a stunned silence. And then pretty soon people started hearing where the bombs went off and dropping their knees crying. And saying, that's where my family is. It puts life in perspective. I ran a bad marathon, but I finished. I got a medal, and I'm still alive. And I mean, it sounds terrible, I guess, maybe to say that, but you realize there's a lot of things more important, in life than winning all the time. My heart goes out to these families, guys. I can't express it right now. We just need a lot of prayer. So if you're a praying man or woman, keep them in your prayers.
Tom, you mentioned that you were away from your wife when this occurred. How did you two find each other?
Well, we luckily got one call through. Everybody's been on me to get the new, one of the new phones, the smartphones. I still have a dumb one. And they jammed the circuits, so we couldn't get calls in and out. And so luckily one call went through, so I knew she was safe, and I said, get to the boat. And then, I didn't hear from her again. I didn't see her again for an hour and 45 minutes, almost 2 hours. And so, it's a crazy feeling. And, people say have an emergency plan, whether it's for tornadoes or fire or whatever. And I maybe never thought about that seriously or scoffed it, but anybody listening, have an emergency plan, because I never thought I'd have a situation like this, to be honest with you. Growing up in Nebraska, you just aren't used to it. I mean, no one's used to this, but last thing I expected.
Well, Tom, I know you're at the airport, so we'll let you get ready for your flight home. Hopefully it's safe. I'm glad everybody is doing well, and we look forward to your return back to Nebraska. Thanks for chatting with us this morning.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It's interesting experience. And I was going to try to get some humor out, because I did. I want to steal a line from Lou Holtz. I slept like a baby last night. I kicked and screamed and stuff and turned all night long. It's kind of hard, though, to get some humor at this time. But I guess, it's, again, it's been quite an experience I'll never forget, and thank God that our Nebraska contingent gets home well.
Tom, again, thanks so much, buddy. Take care.
Thanks, Doug.
God bless, Tom.
That's Tom Ostebuer from Grand Island. Again, a lot of folks may not know the name, but I think they would know the person if they hear the voice or see him at a lot of the basketball games, football, whatever, and, of course, his daily work. But real good, energetic, upbeat guy all the time that I talk to Tom. And for him and everybody else that we've mentioned, I want to thank Mark Treadway, who we talked with yesterday and played that full interview just less than 90 minutes after this all went down. We were fortunate enough to talk to him safely at his motel just two blocks away from the finish line. And again, a lot has been made, especially from our crew over in Hastings. Stacy Shaw was an elementary school teacher. They did the pre-story on her going out there, and she's safe. But she actually, 1 minute, she crossed the finish line, and 1 minute later, this all occurred.
Yeah, just it's so tragic, and the three lives lost, and I think there's about 15, 18 people who are in very serious condition now, and then the more minor injuries. But just what's done to all of us, it affects all of us. You know, you hear from people, you see those pictures, and people are going through things they ought not have to be going through.
We're here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. We'll get back to the world of sports. Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald, Troy Baker, Hastings Softball, Arkansas coach Dave Van Horn in our last segment, plus Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Stay with us.
Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com. The Philadelphia Phillies may be one of the most talented teams in baseball, but injuries have been their biggest enemy.
Chase Utley, two-run blast.
This weekend, they face the potent lineup of the St. Louis Cardinals, who have made the postseason three of the last 4 years.
It's the Phillies and Cardinals right here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Hi, it's The Herd. You always hear that phrase, use your time wisely. Easier said than done. We're all busy. But I know a simple way to start using your time more effectively. Stamps.com. So easy and so convenient. You buy and you print official U.S. postage, the real thing, and you use your own computer and printer. That means you don't have to drop by the post office. Print postage for any letter, any package, within seconds. And here's the cool thing. Right from your desk, 24/7. The post office could be closed. Stamps.com is always open. Right now, Stamps.com has a special offer for my listeners. Use my name, Colin, for a no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer. Includes a digital scale and $55 of free postage. Listen, you got to use your time wisely. Stamps.com. Don't wait. Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio mic top of the page. Type in Colin, Stamps.com, enter.
As cloudy conditions continue today, we'll see some flurries or sprinkles around early, and still could see a few sprinkles or isolated showers later today with a high of 45. Northeast winds stay at 10 to 20. Tonight we'll head back to 35. Right now it's 39.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bush, Cutter. Bruce Furniture right now closing out dozens of Serta mattress sets, and many are at half price. If it's time to replace your mattress, then the sleep experts at Bruce Furniture will find the mattress that's just right for you. But hurry in, because when they're gone, they're gone. It's not like they're bringing trucks in the back. They are taking care of what they have right now. This great pricing still includes free delivery, and Bruce Furniture's guarantee that you'll be happy with your purchase, period. Bruce Furniture in Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. And you don't have to wait for new carpet either, because right now at Bruce Furniture, get $88 carpet installation in one room or your whole house. Bruce Furniture wants to keep it simple and, of course, just right for you. Pick your carpet and your pad. The basic installation, only $88. Enjoy savings on hardwood, laminate, and ceramic flooring, in-stock carpet, and remnants. Bruce Furniture and flooring. Whether you're looking for the Serta mattresses, the great flooring, they've got great deals now for you at Bruce Furniture, downtown Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. I wanted to mention this yesterday, and I guess let's get the sad news out of the way here all at once, because I saw it, I heard about it, and it was just one of those things. I didn't really know this guy that well, but a couple of times when you watch people, you know how it is, Randy.
Oh, yeah.
Whether they
yeah.
think they know you by watching you on TV in your day, or listening to us on the radio, or reading, and we're going to have Stu Pospisil here in a moment, or seeing you in the paper, seeing you at events. But one of the great guys that ever adorned any of our local television stations. And I guess I'll say it was kind of when I was growing up, maybe my teenage years into my 20s when I first started this. Al Zobel passed away over the weekend, and he had been involved in the media for a long time, and he was only 58, and brain cancer got him, and he had moved away from here. And I just remember a couple of instances. It's funny because as I was reading a little bit of the story on him and his obit, it brought up the cigars, and that was one of the things.
And scotch. Don't forget the scotch.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't. It was day two, but I was telling you, we hung out at one of the very first Cattleman's Classics. That was at Upstream Ranch by Taylor, and we were both there, and we were at a golf tournament the day before and then the event the next day, and got to spend, that's probably the most quality time I spent with him, and a couple of times when we crossed paths, because he started in sports here at NTV and then was an outstanding news director, and you worked with him.
Yeah. When Al was the sports director, I was basically the camera guy. So we went on a few bowl trips together.
Are always boring.
You know, we had a pretty good time. Al kind of had this philosophy. He says, we're going to eat cheap. We're gonna save the company money so we can spend it later on. And about the last night before the game, when we got done with all of our requirements and stuff like that, we ate very, very well. We ate cheap, you know, saving up for that, and then we went to a really good steakhouse all the time. We had a mutual friend, a guy that used to work at the TV station that was living down in Miami when we went down for the Orange Bowl. That was the game that we went to a couple of Orange Bowls, actually, he and I, and we had a chance to spend a couple of days down in the. We spent a day in the Keys, is what we did, and it was a lot of fun. Al was a good guy, and when he left to become the news director, he became the anchor. That left the chair open for sports, and I didn't go into that chair directly, but it did open up an avenue for me to have a little bit more face time and start anchoring on weekends and that sort of thing. And he was such a good mentor in terms of helping me figure out how to do that, because I was a pretty young guy and don't know what I'm doing, you know. But so
still working on it.
Still working on that. And Al was tremendous with his guidance with that. And you're right. Really, truly one of the really, really good guys.
Yeah, never, you know, those road trips, because I know Stu Pospisil doesn't spend Warren Buffett's money. He always just, you know, it's the 99-cent meal.
Oh, yeah, saving it all the time. All the time.
Stu Pospisil, Prep Sports Editor of the World Herald. How are you, Stuart?
Well, I packed my lunch bag. No. But that's too bad about Al. I knew him a little bit, and, you know, we kind of lost track of him. But, yeah, the times our paths crossed, he was always a professional. That's 58. That's way too young, guys.
Yeah.
Especially the closer we get to that age, I guess. And a couple coaching changes. We knew about one. Scott Carlin officially named the new head boys basketball coach at Kearney Catholic this morning. We had known that was going to happen pending approval of the school board. He'd been the assistant with Don Lease the past couple of years. Bill Carlin's son from Adams Central, graduate of UNK. And Jim Rayburn is going to take the girls' job at Gibbon after leaving Loomis. Gibbon, his stomping grounds, and he didn't. You know, Loomis, he's having a great time there, but he's going to step back up. He's been at Donovan. He's been at Wilcox-Hildreth now over at Gibbon. We've had some coaching changes going on here, some significant ones. Chip Baugh's going to leave Miller to come out to Hastings. There's been some other Lincoln football coaches leaving. What's the most significant move that you've seen, Stu, here in the, I guess, so-called offseason?
Well, you know, I mean, there's some pretty good jobs that have opened up, and some have filled. You know, the basketball jobs back around Omaha, Scott Miller North both being open. Excuse me, those are two solid jobs. You know, Lincoln Northeast, Justin Smith got the most of his talent there. You know, his four-year record is like 16-19, but that doesn't reflect, you know, the limited resources he had for athletes. And he's going back up towards his old home grounds up at Sergeant Bluff, Luton. And in Iowa, and, you know, Northeast, they're going to have to find somebody to come in and work as hard as he did to you know, make the Rockets competitive.
Stu, Randy Bushcutter here. Hey, a lot of changes with the playoff structure. Before we get into the details of that, how did this come to be? How did the topic even come up that the NSAA started looking at how they did both volleyball and football especially?
Well, it comes through the schools and the legislative process. You've got any school can introduce a proposal, and then it goes through two rounds of legislative meetings, and then depending on what it affects, it either is a representative assembly issue that may or may not have to go back to the schools for a referendum vote, or if it's something as simple as playoff changes, that's an approved ruling that the Board of Control can vote on.
We're talking with
Board of Directors.
We're talking with Stu Pospisil, Prep Sports Editor, Omaha World Herald. Let's start with the changes, because I know it's going to get interesting here for football, but explain, if you can, what they're going to be doing with Class B volleyball and how many games you'll see in the postseason. And if I'm reading this right, you can lose in the district, but if your wild card's high enough, you're still going to come play on that Saturday, kind of clear the muddied waters here.
Right. What's going to happen is, actually, it's kind of like the football system. Class B is going to be broken, this is for volleyball and boys and girls soccer, into eight districts of four teams apiece. The eight winners are going to advance to what's going to be called sub-state. And then the eight teams in the playoff standings or the point standings that aren't district champions also qualify, and they're going to take all 16, see them by the playoff system, and go statewide. So you could have Scottsbluff playing Gross and Sydney playing South Sioux City for chances to go to state, and there's no wild card to the state tourney. So the eight sub-state winners will advance to Lincoln or Grand Island or wherever the tourneys are, Omaha for soccer. And it failed in basketball largely because they haven't been able to figure out a way to get those games on a Saturday when travel isn't such an issue.
Okay, now let me throw out, because there's always questions on the other side. So the districts will be geographical to start. So let's say that we're in volleyball, and Grand Island Northwest plays Holdridge. Grand Island Northwest beats Holdridge, but Holdridge's wild card points are good enough to get them into this sub-state. And Holdridge plays Grand Island Northwest again at sub-state, beats them. They go to state, and Northwest stays home. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Makes zero sense. Makes zero sense. But anyway, that's my side. Let's get to the part that you want to talk about, and that is football. Class A has decided to make a mini change. This doesn't seem like a major thing to me.
No, what they're going to do is they're going to look at the two-year performance prior to the start of the next scheduling cycle. So that means you basically either add up the playoff points or whatever. You figure out who's top to bottom based on performance over the previous 2 years in the regular season, and you number them 1 to 28, and you serpentine them, and so there's no Western districts, there's no Metro districts. Everybody's thrown in the same pot, and we're going to have four districts of seven teams each, and they could, you know, you could have North fighting with Omaha North, and they're going to be playing during the year, and you'll have six district games, three non-district games, and trying to eliminate the sometimes imbalance of districts. There's been years where Kearney's been in just a loaded district, and there's a district in Omaha where only two teams should go. And what they will do for the postseason is the top three teams in the district standings in each district qualify. So first, second, and third, and then the next four highest in the wild card standings. So I think it's a very good change. It kind of goes along with other performance-based district assignments. And, it helps that North Platte is the team furthest west from the metro areas. And, from Lincoln it's 3 hours, and from Omaha it's 4 hours. It's not insurmountable.
Well, the three games that you have outside of your district, how are those kind of – is it just kind of random, or do schools select who they want to play? Because obviously Kearney and Grand Island are going to want to play each other every year infinitum.
Sure. And they have a priority list. So Grand Island ranks its top five preferences, let's say, and Kearney ranks its top five. And Kearney and Grand Island really want to keep the series going. They better have them both ranked number one as, Grand Island for Kearney and Kearney for Grand Island, and in all likelihood, they'll get that game.
We're talking with Stu Pospisil, prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald. Okay, B is already that way. C1 and C2, I've got just multiple mini questions, I think, just for there's some short answers. Okay, C1 and C2 are going to go to 9 regular season games, which I know you love, and 16 teams in the playoffs, which I know you love, and I'm a little bit on the other side of that. But A, why isn't D involved in this? And the one thing that I really hate about this is that now they're going to go back to play on Friday nights, and that means every game in the playoff is on Friday nights, and you're not going to get a chance to see as many schools play.
That's the drawback for the sports writers and broadcasters. Is it worth the trade-off to give these kids yet another extra day? You know, a couple years ago, they only had 5 days between games. Now they're going to get 7 and even longer after the semis to the state final. You know, I think the media, we bite the bullet, and it's best for kids. But they're not going to get as much attention. I mean, that's just the facts of life. You start at the top of Class A and you work down, and, you know, a great Class C1 or C2 matchup, let's say Norfolk Catholic Pierce or Kearney Catholic Adams Central, is still going to get attention, but some of those lesser games, we just, you know, nobody's going to be able to get to outside the local area.
Well, obviously, Stu, half the teams that made the playoffs aren't now. An example from C1 this year, Broken Bow at 6-2 would have got in. Gibbon at 6-2 would not have, instead of playing each other in the first round. Obviously, there's going to be a fair number of schools that have pretty good records that still aren't going to make the playoffs.
Well, one thing, guys, is that you're going to have another game as a factor. You know, 8 games to me, really, you know, for the at-large, really, it's tough to differentiate between a 6-2 and 5-3, but now you're going to have probably more 7-2s and 5-4s just because you're going to have maybe a little better opponent for that 9th game. And, you know, I just think the ability, the season's short enough, and you're well, with 32 teams, you're only denying 16 schools right now the chance to have a 9th game, but I would rather have everybody get 9 games and have a little bit more chance to have another game decide playoff fates rather than taking everybody in. And remember this, guys, this is statewide seeding. There's no East-West now.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. Pierce could play Imperial in the first round like they used to do in the Western Final all the time in C1. There's no doubt about
right.
It. Shadron could travel to Lincoln and play Christian or Lutheran.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's going to make for stronger playoffs. You know, travel with them, that's why they went to Friday nights, was travel's a little less of a issue when you're, you know, you can leave Friday afternoon or, you know, mid-morning on Friday if you've got a really long road trip and you've got the, you know, Friday night and Saturday early to travel back. So I think it's good overall. Getting back to Randy's question, why the 8-mans didn't get into it, this was a Class C proposal. It was a much better proposal than that stupid one for Class C1, C2, and C3. And I think you'll see the 8-mans in the next cycle request this. So I think we're going to have Friday night football in the playoffs for every class by 2016.
Stu, I almost feel like I'm asking the same question again, but I'll do it a little bit differently. I think we're going to see teams that are 7-2 not get in, and teams at 6-3 that have more playoff wildcard points get in front of them. To me, I just think we're leaving a lot of pretty good football teams on the sideline once the playoffs start.
Well, it depends on scheduling, obviously, and you do get an extra game for those opponents too. You know, if I'm a team that you're in an area that, you know, maybe you look around and your neighbors aren't that strong, I'd be requesting my non-district games be as strong as possible and don't take the cupcake method. Because you're going to see this in college football once the playoffs system goes, that you know, these teams that schedule cupcakes aren't going to be rewarded for it.
just a minute here with Stu Pospisil, because I know we could do a whole hour on this, and I think Stu and I and a variety of people have sat down at spots and have had an hour or plus on this.
Yes, we have.
Stuart, there is, and you mentioned it in your article, but basketball, 3-day, 4-day tournament, if people have been keeping up with your writing and your surveys and things like that, what did the board actually come to find, or what did they determine this last Friday?
They determined nothing. They kind of heard, a little bit of what the options are. One hurdle to clear is going to be Nebraska getting the new Panko Bank Arena cleared, so that if Wednesday's a possibility, that it could be an option, because Big Ten plays all over the board, but Nebraska would need to play a Saturday game prior to a Tuesday game, so that they could get into the arena on Wednesday. You know, I love the 4-day the most, because I think we need to be in the arenas. If we either had a third arena in Lincoln, you could do something pretty nice with a 3-day tourney.
Pershing! Too,
and I said nice. But Lincoln's got to figure out what to do, because they don't have a place to put their tractor poles and metal rock, and because Pinnacle is going to be too expensive for that lower range entertainment option, and Devaney certainly isn't going to be used for rock concerts or things like that. So where are those other acts going to be going in Lincoln? You know, maybe they have to either come up and do like a Ralston Arena type. You know, maybe the guys that own the Icebox either build something or refurbish that a bit. I don't think that's suitable for high school events. The 3-day six site, my biggest issue with that, besides the fact that Class C1 would have to be going back to high school in all likelihood for its first round games, and that's just not feasible, would be the two classes would have to play late on Thursday night and come back and play the 9 or 10:45 game on Friday morning, and I think that's unfair too.
Stu, I got to admit, when I heard about the football proposal, I was surprised that the NSA did that, because they took away half their gate. They took away half of the money that the NSA was going to be able to make in. Was that discussed, or were you surprised by that decision?
I think with those games, Randy, sometimes they were money losers. I think the NSAA was paying out more in travel than what they were collecting as their share of the gate. So I think going to 16 and going to Friday night, I think they see it as improving the bottom line.
All right, buddy, we'll let you get back to work. Always appreciate you filling us in and giving us your opinions, and we will hash it over again as this gets closer to becoming reality.
Sounds good. And do we have a track season underway at all?
they're it's like under a blanket somewhere.
They're like our baseball squads. They make a quick call. Hey, you guys want to do it today? So things have been moved to Friday, and we had some yesterday. So at least it isn't sunburning that girlish white skin of yours.
You mean my farmer's tan? Yeah, or golfer. Well, wait, I don't even have a golfer's tan. I tried to play yesterday. Creighton Prep had its tourney at Champions Run, and there were only four coaches brave enough to go out, and they all quit after 9, and I looked at it and I said, no, I'm not packing the clubs. it was cold and it snowed here yesterday morning.
See, and you do have some brains. That's what we love to hear. Stuart, we will get the golf clubs out, but let's warm it up, and we'll let you get back to work for the day. Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome. See you guys.
Take care.
Stu Pospisil, Prep Sports Editor, Omaha World Herald, with us here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need to take a break. We're going to talk a little Hastings softball and Arkansas baseball coach Dave Van Horn. Stay with us.
Come on in, let the games begin.
NFL coaches call the plays right to the quarterback's helmet, just as a great sports bar like HK Sports Bar and Grill sends you the signals right to your smartphone when you text HKVIP to 90210. Hi, this is Jeremy, the new general manager at HK Sports Bar and Grill of Hastings. We're adding more feature items and bonus alerts every week, so text HKVIP to 90210. I guarantee you'll score a deal as an HKVIP. Text HKVIP to 90210 and let the games begin.
Hi, it's the Herd. You always hear that phrase, use your time wisely. Easier said than done. We're all busy. But I know a simple way to start using your time more effectively. Stamps.com. So easy and so convenient. You buy and you print official U.S. postage, the real thing, and you use your own computer and printer. That means you don't have to drop by the post office. Print postage for any letter, any package, within seconds. And here's the cool thing. Right from your desk, 24/7. The post office could be closed. Stamps.com is always open. Right now, Stamps.com has a special offer for my listeners. Use my name, Colin, for a no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer. Includes a digital scale and $55 of free postage. Listen, you got to use your time wisely. Stamps.com. Don't wait. Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio mic top of the page. Type in Colin, Stamps.com. And
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
As cloudy conditions continue today, we'll see some flurries or sprinkles around early, and still could see a few sprinkles or isolated showers later today with a high of 45. Northeast winds stay at 10 to 20. Tonight we'll head back to 35. Right now it's 39.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this jam-packed Tuesday in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, where typically when it comes to incentive financing, such as a 0% or 1.9, 3.9, so on, whatever it may be, you have to give up your rebates. Not this month, not at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. Midway is offering incentive rates with approved credit, and you get to also have the everyday Midway hassle-free price. Right now, 2.9% financing for 72 months on every new vehicle on the lot with approved credit. Check it out in person or check it out online at thinkmidway.com. 2.9% financing? Are you kidding me?
They're giving it away.
That'd be cool, too. Financing, 72 months, all new vehicles with approved credit. Check it out today at thinkmidway.com or at your Midway auto dealership. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Midway, it's a better way. Well, they are off to a smoking 8-0 start in conference play, 18-6 on the season. Let's talk a little Hastings softball here on the Doug and Daddy Show with the head coach of the Broncos, Troy Baker. Coach, good morning. Congratulations to the great start.
Thanks. Thanks for having me here.
Are we going to keep it going?
Well, you're going to have to ask Mother Nature. Then, you know, if we, you know, if the weather holds up, I think we have a shot. You know, I like our team. We played pretty consistent throughout the season. So, you know, we'll just see if we can keep it going.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the season so far. But I want to get one, we may talk about a couple individuals, but I want to get one young lady out there because she's doing it in the field when you ask her to do that. She's doing it on the mound when you ask her to do that. Last week she was the GPAC Pitcher of the Week. Tell me how Taylor is getting it done for you.
She is phenomenal, you know, coming in as a freshman and, you know, asking her to, you know, pitch, hit, you know, whatever, pinch hit. she's done it everywhere. You know, you don't want to put, too much pressure on her, but I've never had a freshman come in and go 10-1, to start a season. And the game that she lost, it was 2-1. So, and as a hitter, she drives in runs. I think she'd probably like to hit more. It's just we can't find a spot for her. But, she mixes it up. When she has to throw harder, she can. I think when she gets a little ornery on the mound, she actually, can reach back. And, you can't teach that. When you get a little bit of trouble, she finds that extra gear and throws a little bit harder. And, she has a lot of strikeouts. So she's a phenomenal young player. I think she's going to get better and better.
Coach, obviously, with softball, runs are always at a premium. You always face some pretty good pitching out there. What are the little things you guys are doing so well right now to be able to come up with that timely bunt, that timely hit, or whatever it takes to win the game?
Bunt, in our vocabulary, is a naughty word.
It is a four-letter word,
It is. We are not very good at it, so I think we have like 6 or 7 sacrifices, which is kind of bad in softball. We should be in the 40s or 50s. We do a lot of hitting and running. We don't steal straight very much. We have a lot of batters that put the ball in play. And, this stretch, we are getting the clutch 2-out hits. This last weekend, Nebraska Wesleyan kept us at bay for a while. And I just think the second, third, and fourth times around, we just kept putting pressure on them. Our 7, 8, 9 hitters could be 4, 5, 6 hitters on a lot of teams. And I think that's why we're successful. Our 9 hitters hitting .333. And, she's had leads our team in doubles. So either I'm stupid and I should move her up, or, we have a lot of depth at our batting order where we can kind of move things around and, just have a lot of depth as a team. So we're getting a lot of clutch hits at the right time for our team.
We're talking with Hastings softball coach Troy Baker here for another couple minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show. They are 8-0 in conference, and now a very important weekend for you and your team. And as you said, hopefully the weather is decent enough on the road to get these in. Northwest, you're at the top of the standings. Morningside 7-1, Northwestern's 8-4, and they're second and third in the standings, and that's who you've got this weekend.
Yeah, they're tough. We've watched Morningside play in other tournaments. We know they're good. Well, they've gone to the national tournament, I don't know, four straight years, something like that. So, we know we have our have to be ready. We have to, the cliche, you got to bring your A game. Well, we know that. We're used to playing on the road. We've only played one doubleheader at home. So I don't think that's going to bug us as much as, we can't get caught looking ahead. Northwestern is tough. They're defending champions in the regular season last year. They have a lot of the same players. So, we're kind of working on the mental aspect. We all want to get Morningside. We know that they're right behind us, but we got to take care of business first Saturday before we even think about Sunday. So, that's the big thing that we need to work on for the rest of the week is take care of the business, keep swinging the sticks, tighten up stuff here and there, and I think we'll be ready to go.
Just the last minute here with Troy Baker. You talked a little bit, and we joked a little bit about the bunting. Are there anything, any one other thing that you're a little concerned about right now, even though you're playing pretty well?
Other coaches, Tiny said, hey, you've got a solid team, but your defense isn't the greatest. I agree. We work on it, we work on it. We have the last 8 games, we've committed 3 errors. That's pretty good. Beginning of the year, I think the games that we actually have lost is because of our defense. Our pitching has been there. We've scored enough runs to win games, but our defense, and they know, the ladies will tell you, hey, if there is one weak spot, it is our defense. It's just not one area. It's either we kick a ball or we field it and throw it away. But we've been really working on it as much as we can because, we haven't been outside a whole lot, which is crazy. And working inside in our facility, it's just different. It's just different, fielding the ground ball off that thing. It's way faster than fielding the ground ball off a dirt or agri-lime or whatever, we play on. So, that's still a work in progress. And I've told everybody, we're not a finished product. We're 18-6. I think we're going to get better. And that's the scary thing. I just hope we have enough prep time to play and get all these games in because it is. This has been the worst weather I think I've ever had in my coaching career. So I don't know what's going on, but it's making us kind of pull the rest of our hair out and everything. We just want to play. So
it does get frustrating, especially when you are playing well. And, Troy, hopefully we can get a chance to check up with your team and catch up with you a little bit later on in the season. Best of luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Take care, Troy Baker, Hastings. A couple things the next time, and I wish we had another couple of minutes, but we're just jam-packed today. This is one of those rare rosters that really doesn't have anybody from the Tri-Cities on it. They got a Cozad kid. They got a kid from Osceola on there, or Orleans, excuse me, not Osceola, Columbus. But, I mean, there's no Grand Island, Hastings, Kearney,
right.
And that's unusual, whether it's UNK or Hastings in just about any sport. And they're not a senior-related team. They've got five, I think I count here, five, maybe six seniors on this whole ball club. So, you know, the more experience, that's a good sign, is that these youngsters are coming around maybe a little earlier than normal.
And maybe they'll learn how to bunt. That's shocking to me, because that's what you do in fast-pitch softball. That is such a tool when you play good quality softball that you have to do that. And but they found a way to do it without it. And so eventually if they – I don't know. It's good to have that philosophy of we'll just hit and run, and we'll and if it works for him, that saves them outs. And that's very, very effective on their part. So kudos to them for being able to do it, because usually you have to give up an out for that advance, and they're finding ways to do it without giving up the out. That obviously is better.
Let's go into our Troutman's Tuesday Trivia break, and then Dave Van Horn is going to join us. He is the head baseball coach at Arkansas. They play Nebraska at a doubleheader starting this afternoon at 3:05. If you've not won Troutman's Tuesday Trivia in the last 2 months, you are eligible. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Here is your Troutman's Tuesday Trivia question. Three Huskers have been drafted in the first round of the WNBA draft. Last night, Lindsay Moore. In 2010, her former teammate, Kelsey Griffin. Who was the only other Husker woman to be drafted in the first round of the WNBA draft? Lindsay Moore, Kelsey Griffin, and this lady was drafted in the first round. Who was it? First correct caller gets a $20 gift card to Troutman's. We're back with Dave Van Horn after this.
You don't have to wait for your new carpet, because right now at Bruce Furniture, get $88 carpet installation in one room or your whole house. Bruce Furniture wants to keep it simple and, of course, just right for you when you buy flooring. Just pick your carpet and your pad. Then, basic installation is only $88. Enjoy savings on hardwood, laminate, and ceramic flooring, in-stock carpets, and remnants. Bruce Furniture and Flooring, downtown Kearney and Holdridge. Bruce Furniture is closing out dozens of Serta mattress sets, many at half price. The sleep experts at Bruce Furniture will find the mattress that's just right for you. But hurry, when they're gone, they're gone. Sale or no sale, this great pricing still includes free delivery and Bruce Furniture's guarantee that you will be happy with your purchase, period. Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Holdridge, Alliance, and Hastings.
An elite group of astro-scientists shrunk themselves down to study Little Caesar's amazing new deep, deep dish pizza. They are...
Deep Dish Explorers!
Spaceship, this is Ground Control. How would you describe the 8 deliciously crispy caramelized cheese crust corners of the deep, deep dish pizza?
Delicious.
Thank you, Spaceship.
Deep Dish Explorers!
Introducing the deep, deep dish pizza. Hot and ready every day from 4 to 8 p.m. Just $8 for a large, only at Little Caesar's.
Pizza, pizza.
Participating locations plus tax.
Hi, Tom Baudet. You know, Motel 6 is making impossible bucket lists possible. Have you always dreamed of doing a triathlon, climbing a mountain, or cycling across America? Well, if any of those are on your bucket list, Motel 6 can help make them more possible, if not less painful. We have over 1,100 locations in North America, all saving you more for what you travel for, like a good massage and some salve. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on.
Lose 30 pounds in only 3 weeks? Really? If you're frustrated with outrageous weight loss promises, Complete Nutrition is about to change that. Try Refirm, the first ever and only weight loss product on the market that actually shrinks fat cells.
This is Dr. Lisa Stout. I'm excited to tell you about the breakthrough weight loss product from Complete Nutrition called Refirm. Refirm does something you've never experienced. It actually shrinks fat cells, and that means losing weight and fitting into your clothes faster.
Refirm revs up energy and metabolism, but also shrinks fat cells. Hurry into your neighborhood Complete Nutrition store while supplies last. Please note, if you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, visit your Complete Nutrition store to adjust your plan.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
Your buds ditched you again this weekend. It's okay, buddy. Cheer up and head over to Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's is a great hangout on the weekends. So watch live entertainment, meet some new friends, and you know what? If you pick up your phone and text HAMS LIVE to the number 90210, that's HAMS LIVE, all one word, to 90210, Cunningham's will send you your first cover charge for free. Now go have some fun at Cunningham's, located on 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
As cloudy conditions continue today, we'll see some flurries or sprinkles around early, and still could see a few sprinkles or isolated showers later today, with a high of 45. Northeast winds stay at 10 to 20. Tonight, we'll head back to 35. Right now, it's 39.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Congratulations to Richard. He knew that Nicole Kubik was the last Husker, or was the third Husker. We said Kelsey Griffin and Lindsay
the first
Moore.
Husker.
She was actually the first number one pick. Had a Karen Jennings out there, but that was pre-WNBA.
Oh, yeah.
That was an outstanding
guess.
By
a fair set.
That was probably would have been, definitely would have been, National Player of the Year. A $25 gift card to Troutman's, and now it's time for our Midtown Mark Cooler question. What do you got, Randy?
Our Cooler question from yesterday. First of all, let's go through that. Would Tiger Woods have won the Masters without his two-stroke penalty before Saturday's round? Yes or no? And 77% of you said no.
Yeah.
So most of you felt,
I said yes, though.
Well, yeah, you would be the mutant. So today's question is, and I had to get an explanation on this. I'll admit it. Should the Lakers use their amnesty clause on Kobe Bryant? The amnesty clause means that Kobe Bryant would not play next year. It would not be a hit to the salary cap for the Lakers, but it makes it so Kobe Bryant would not play at all next season, but yet he would still be a Laker. So should the Lakers use their amnesty clause on Kobe Bryant? That is today. Midtown Mart Cooler question of the day.
Well, Nebraska and Arkansas supposed to play a two-game series. They'll just do it on one day, starting later this afternoon at Haymarket Park on this Tuesday. And Coach Dave Van Horn joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Coach, great to catch up with you again. And how are things with the Razorbacks?
It's been going pretty good. You know, we've had a lot of sickness. Really, the last couple of weeks, we're starting to get some guys healed up. We had some guys miss midweek games last week and a little bit over the weekend with LSU, but I think we're just about healed up, and hopefully we can put our, you know, put all of our guys out on the field, you know, today.
What about playing a doubleheader as opposed to playing over the 2 days? Does that make any difference in your preparation for today's games?
You know, not really. You know, we when you play weekend series, you know, Monday's usually your day off. And, you know, for us, it's a day off and a travel day all in the same. And, you know, as far as getting guys ready to pitch, you know, they throw in their bullpens, you know, probably, you know, 3 and 4 days in advance. And so everything's pretty much lined up. You know, we're going to throw a young kid, a freshman, in game one, and then throw a little bit of everybody in game two. So that's kind of the way we've been working when we have 2 games in the middle of the week.
Yesterday, after Nebraska got done on Sunday, we should say, with Ohio State, Coach Erstad was asked about playing this series against you guys, the preseason number one team in the country that's starting to kind of look a little bit more like that number one team from the preseason. He said, you know, we're basically standing here because of Dave Van Horn at Haymarket Park, what he built, and that's way over a decade since, not way over, but at least a decade since you've gone. What's your relationship with Erstad and your thoughts when he says something like that?
Well, first thought is I really appreciate that. And, you know, I think that was a combination of, you know, of us being able to put together such a good run. It's just we had a great coaching staff with Coach Childers and Coach Anderson and, you know, graduate assistants and volunteer coaches. And, you know, it was a great support from the administration. A couple of years after we got there, they realized that, that we could have success. And, you know, back then in the Big 12 and now the Big 10 for you guys, it's a so it's just a combination of all that. We were fortunate to get that ballpark passed and then built. And hopefully, you know, it'll be enjoyed by Nebraska fans and players for decades to come.
Well, normally, and Coach Dave Van Horn's with us here from Arkansas on the Doug and Daddy Show, normally on Tuesday, our Division II baseball coach here at Nebraska, Kearney Damon Day, comes in and co-hosts the show with me, but the weather has moved their games up to today. And I know that one of the things that he would want to know is, how does Dave Van Horn take over a Nebraska program and an Arkansas program? Did you have the same model when you built both of those programs into successful programs?
I would say, yeah. I mean, obviously you do. You have to. But it's really about just getting the right people involved with the program and then going out and recruiting the right kids and, you know, developing a mindset about how you want to get things done and getting the kids to believe in it and work hard. And, you know, obviously, you know, we had to get some good players, and that's what we did. And once we started winning, it was contagious, and other kids wanted to come here. It's been the same way at Arkansas. You know, I took over the program. We were kind of in a bit of a, I'd say just a little bit of a slump. You know, it'd been good before, and maybe we were having a few down years, and we turned it around with a little bit of attitude adjustment and just the way we worked and the players we got in here. And it's been pretty good for the last 5-6 years now.
And I know the second question he'd want to know, because the UNK has just entered the MIAA, which you were at with Central Missouri State for a year. How did you win that thing? He could use some help.
Well, you know, I was only in that league 1 year, and really the players that I used or we had on the team, I inherited. I didn't recruit one of them. And most of the kids that I had were junior college kids. And, you know, we just had to get those guys straightened out a little bit, you know, get their minds right, get them focused in. There's some pretty good talent for that level at the time. And we could really, really hit. And, you know, we had a couple of pitchers, but realistically we had to score runs, and that's what we did. And, you know, I don't know. It's just everything just worked out. But MIAA is a good league, and if you can win that league, you got a chance to get to that Division II World Series. So I'm sure they'll be fine. It might take them a year or two, but they'll be fine.
Dave Van Horn with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Let's get to your team, obviously, Coach. Was there pressure being voted number one? And there's so many baseball polls. You were 1, 2, or 3, but at least in one or two of them, you guys were number one.
Well, I think there was. You know, I think that it was a big honor first off. And, you know, in the off season, 2 or 3, you know, you have a couple of months where you're working out, but you're really not out on the field. And, you know, it sounded good at the time. But then realistically, when we started playing, you could tell that we were getting everybody's best shot. And I don't think we were ready for it offensively. We pitched good all year, and our pitching matches up with anybody for the most part. But, you know, offensively, we lost a lot of kids, and we have really had to rebuild our whole infield. We got our outfield back and our catcher. So we've got, you know, 3 different guys in the infield. And then we had a couple of injuries that really hurt. And we got off to a really slow start with the bats, and it picked up pretty good. And then the next thing, you know, we hit conference play. We did a conference play. We faced some really good arms. And it's tough to score runs on the weekend in our league, but we've hung in there, but yeah, we continue to get better, and hopefully, you know, the last half of the season, you know, we'll make a run again. But hopefully, we get to a regional. If we get to a regional, what do you think it happens?
Well, obviously, fans across the world of college baseball saw how good that pitching staff was in Omaha last year, and as of coming into this week, you had the best pitching ERA in the nation, and then it looks like you guys are still playing with wooden bats down there. Is that frustrating right now for your pitching staff?
A little bit. You know, I mean, I think that it's been frustrating for everybody. You know, we've had some really good weekends. I mean, we go to South Carolina and we swept them down there, and that was a great weekend for us. But realistically, in a weekend series in our league, you're going to have one game that might be 3-2. You might have one game that's 6-4. And honestly, if you score more runs than that the next day, it's unusual. It seems like this year in the SEC, the Sunday pitchers are just as good as the Saturday pitchers. There's just a lot of experienced arms in our league this year, and the scores have been down, I've noticed. So, we struggled a little bit offensively, but I feel like our better days are in front of us.
We're talking with Arkansas baseball coach Dave Van Horn here on the Doug and Daddy Show. This week's USA Today Coaches Poll, 7 SEC teams are ranked in the top 19. Arkansas sitting at the number 12 spot. You mentioned South Carolina. That's one of the things I wanted to ask you, Coach, with the battles in the conference and at the College World Series. What is that rivalry like right now?
you know, it's probably heated up a little bit over the last couple of years. We've had some really good battles with them. And then, you know, the two ball games we had in Omaha last year were nail biters and could have gone either way. I guess we played three games. We lost two. Won the first one, had to win one more to get to the championship series. And you know, disappointed we didn't get there. But, you know, I think when we went out there and played them, a little bit of that was still on our mind. We had a lot of gifts back that went to Omaha last year. And we played extremely well, you know. But realistically, again, our league is such a grind. And we always talk about that, that, you know, we knew that the next week we had to, you know, play Mississippi State. And we had to play Ole Miss. We got to play LSU, and next week we've got A&M coming in. So it's just hard to really, you know, say that we have a rival or somebody that we're really going after. It's just weekend to weekend and try to survive.
You're right at that midway point of the conference season, setting at 9-6. But kind of as you mentioned, LSU already played them, South Carolina, Mississippi State. The teams that are still on your schedule are teams that I guess the casual fan are going to expect you guys to beat, and you're getting healthy at the right time, as you said. Do you believe that this team is poised for a heck of a second-half run here?
Well, I hope so. You know, I feel like that, again, our offense is starting to get stronger, get some guys back that have been injured that are, you know, starting to get some bats under the belt. And, you know, we have played some teams that so far in the upper echelon of the standings. It doesn't mean that can change, but we face some incredible pitching. You know, hopefully our bats will get better. Maybe the pitching will calm down a little bit that we're facing, and we can reel off some wins.
Coach, you have had so much success, as we've talked about, and you're getting closer. Is that national title still kind of the carrot on the end of the stick for you?
Well, I think it always is. You know, that's something that, you know, you work for and, you know, basically, you know, strive for as a young coach. And as you start getting a little bit older, I think, you know, you start really wanting it, 'cause you know you're going to run out of years. But, you know, just as long as the teams that I coach play hard and play well, you know, I'm satisfied with that. But obviously it would be great to win a national championship.
Coach Dave Van Horn went over 1,000 career wins earlier this season. I know coaches always kind of poo-poo the milestones a little bit, but that's a pretty good one, Coach.
Yeah, I told our players after the game, it means I've had a lot of good players and I'm getting old. Same time. it's been fun, but hopefully there's more. You know, I feel like I could go another 10, 15 years, no problem.
Well, everyone seems to enjoy it, and you guys are getting on TV and you're playing some great baseball. I guess I just got really one more question here. After going to the Coca-Cola Classic, going 0-4, are you just a Pepsi drinker now, and that's it?
Yeah, the school just changed too. Actually, maybe that was the reason. But yeah, that was a rough trip. Lost two games by a run, another game by a couple runs. That was a little disappointing.
And last question, Coach, because we're just we've talked about everything else, but a team ERA as of today of 1.72, that is astonishing. What do you credit that to? I mean, we know Stonik and Suggs were coming in as preseason all-conference, all-American type kids, but boy, to have the whole staff being able to do what they're doing, pitching coach, what is it you attribute that to?
Well, we've got a really good mix of left and right-handed pitching. You know, our bullpen consists, I think, of basically 5-6 righties and 5-6 lefties. They all have good stuff. Most of our lefties are right around 90 miles an hour or better, with pretty good secondary pitches. Right-handers throw, some of them throw even harder than that. We've got, you know, guys that are middle guys. We've got one that's just a designated closer, and he's anywhere 96, 97 all the time. And, you know, we just got such a good mix, and there's so much competition amongst the players to get on the field and pitch that I think it's, you know, it just brings out a little bit extra, and they're just having good seasons.
Well, I know everyone is fired up when Arkansas plays Nebraska in baseball. The fans are looking forward to seeing you and the Razorbacks, and we appreciate you giving us some time here on the Doug and Daddy Show on the bus trip up to Lincoln, Coach. As always, thanks for the time, and best of luck the rest of the season. Hope to see you guys in Omaha.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Coach. Coach Dave Van Horn, doubleheader this afternoon on 1230 AM KHAS. What a jam-packed show. we had today, Randall.
Yeah, we found a way with a shoehorn to wedge it all in there.
Yeah, and that's the best part about it. Let's see if we missed anything that, we may have only said it once, but if you missed any of the show, Cunningham's Journal takes care of our podcast that's up after the show each and every day, ESPNSuperstation.com. Not only are the Huskers playing this afternoon, the Lopers are playing 2 o'clock Memorial Field against Northwest Missouri State. These are very important games for UNK. If they want to make the MIAA Conference Tournament, these are very significant games. So if you get a chance, sneak up to Memorial Field, watch the Lopers today, starting at 2 with a doubleheader. Hastings baseball also moved up today. They will travel to York and play at 4:30 this afternoon. And a shout-out to our wrestling friends. I'll go with what I got here. Destin McCauley, one of the top wrestlers in the country, has accepted a scholarship from Nebraska. He spent the past 2 years at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs, a 6-time state champion. In Minnesota, you can do that. South Dakota, you can do that. Nebraska, you can.
You wrestle as a 7th grader?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
6-time state champion at Apple Valley, Minnesota. A lot of people are familiar with Apple Valley. They are studs. They go to the Clash. They're that wrestling power. They're always there in American Legion Baseball as one of the teams make it to the regional. That whoever, Nebraska, Kearney, Grand Island, Omaha, he won their team in that time, won 11 team and dual state titles, considered one of the best wrestlers ever in the state of Minnesota. He's traveled the world. He's coming to Nebraska. Mitch McGinnis is also going to sign. He's from Grand Island Central Catholic. He's going to sign with the Huskers tomorrow, as well as it is signing day tomorrow. You're going to hear a lot more about that as things pass along.
I cannot imagine being a 7th grader and winning a state wrestling tournament. Holy cow.
Also, Brooke Kissinger of Minden, we found out this morning, has committed to Illinois. So Brooke has committed of the sister duo, and of course there's 3 of them, so they're all going to be playing at Minden this year. So congratulations, she is going to Illinois. High school soccer today. Kearney is hosting North Platte. Girls looking to avenge their only loss. Kearney Catholic at Lexington. Hastings at Columbus. Schuyler at Northwest. Holdridge at York. And Faith Hill is no longer going to do the Sunday night football opening. I am sad about that.
I will no longer need my mute button. That's good.
There you go. Folks, we want to thank everybody that joined us today. Dave Van Horn, Arkansas baseball coach. Troy Baker, Hastings College softball coach. Stu Pospisil, prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald. And from Boston, Grand Island's Tom Ostrover, who was one of the Nebraskans that ran in yesterday's Boston Marathon. As our thoughts and prayers continue to go out to those folks. Randy, thanks so much again for the time today.
All right, thanks, Doug.
See you tomorrow with Rick Squires, Loper volleyball coach Damon Day's in on a Wednesday here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, 2 stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Yeah.